State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Jacksonville, Florida. You already know what time it is. Duval County.
Yeah. Jack Town.
You already know what time it is, man. It's the 85 South Show, September 11th.
Where we going? The best of veterans arena.
We coming live, so get your tickets. You already know what it is, man. I was just there a couple weeks ago, and Cracker was there, and all y'all said y'all was coming, man. So make sure you get your tickets. September
11th.
Jacksonville, Florida. Duval County. What are we doing? What are we going down to Duval?
85 South Dakota's podcast, September 11th. Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. We coming bike.
Duval County.
Five-star veterans arena. Get your tickets. We see y'all on September 11th.
No, for real, everybody, you only work with good motherfuckers.
Oh, shit. Hey, man, that's
everybody good on this list good in the motherfucker. Pink.
Pink, she dope. She good as fuck.
Man, Pink good than the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Nigga, you done worked with so many people. This shit just say various artists. Just like everybody came through. And then you gonna ask me why we want you on here. We could just ask you about one song and that'd be a whole episode. Big Boy, Bow Wow. This ain't gonna work with Big Boy and Outkast. That was two different times. The Dungeon Family. That's like 75 people if you really know Atlanta. That's Outkast, Future, TLC, Usher, Rico Wade. Basically, if you ever recorded a hit song in Atlanta, you had to be around somebody in the Dungeon Family. You know how they had that thing where it was like, everybody in the last 15 NBA Finals then been Shaq teammate. Nigga, every piece of good shit that there ever came out of Atlanta, somebody from the Dungeon Family was over there.
Yeah, that's real shit, actually.
That's real shit.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah. I mean, I think we ground this shit, man. We from it, so it's... It feel different.
Man, I'm just looking at the list. This ain't even... The list cut off. It's still 10 years of shit that you done that don't nobody even know. Even the internet was like, man, ask him. So catch from after 2011, man. Tell me some more shit.
Man, shit. Went to Atlantic,
See how normal this shit is to you. It's like you switched jobs, went to Atlantic. What we do at Atlantic? We sold a lot of records over there.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest record companies in the world.
And reconnected with Pharrell over there like that. Me and him.
When did you connect with him? You just gonna start the story when y'all reconnected. Wait a minute. Welcome back to the 85 South Show. You see the shorts on the table. You see the hoodies. Be great. This is one of the greatest. I'm looking at a list of all your favorite songs, and you didn't even know that KP had something to do with it. Welcome to the trap, KP.
Hey, man, appreciate it.
Come on, man. Look, we're not even worthy. We done had a lot of Atlanta legends come through here, and don't act like you ain't one of them. You be downplaying all this shit, but you got to come over here and give us your version of the pieces of Atlanta history that you done been a part of. Look at this list. Do you remember this shit?
Yeah, all of it.
All right, bet. And then you got to tell me about the shit that ain't on here.
Like, let me see.
So you said you reconnected with Pharrell. How did you connect with him? How did you start all of this? Clearly it was around 1990. Now, this shit hit in 96, yeah, so you had to be doing it about 93 at least.
So, no, 90, having to go to school, went to Tri-Cities where, like, Outkast.
See what I'm saying? You even went to a historical Atlanta high school.
Okay, yeah. I'm from Vine.
DC
City.
Went over there for a minute. That's the one he got threw out of, I think.
So here's the thing. So I did a bunch of that. Like, I went to Maze. They asked me to leave.
I know for a fact they went to Maze.
Yeah. Okay. District. They don't want everybody there. Went to Lakeshore. I did a tour. I went to all the high schools.
Okay,
and,
basically.
And in doing that, I met a bunch of people. But okay. I graduated from Tri-City, which is where Outkast, both of them went. Candy, Keenan from Saturday Night Live. It's like a bunch of people went in this time period.
Exactly.
And all of us were working. We all knew we wanted to do shit. It was like talent show kids. And yeah, and we started working. And at that time, LA and Babyface and Pebbles moved to Atlanta. Like, they met T-Boz, who was a friend of mine, who went to, she was a TLC, I'm sorry, T-Boz from TLC.
Right.
She was my homeboy who was in a group with me, his brother's girlfriend. So it was like all these weird, everybody was just randomly connected.
Right.
And then, you know, and they got a deal. And on one of their video shoots, they were doing an audition for the video, Baby, Baby, Baby. And Tion was like, yo, y'all should come down. Bring the group. Y'all see if y'all can, we can slide. I'm going to figure out how to get y'all, if I can slide y'all in to get Pebbles to see y'all. And I brought my turntables. We set up. And Pebbles was like, well, if I'm a watch you, what you gonna do for me? And I was like, yeah, like, that's how I felt. And she was like, you know, like, I'm here auditioning. I need people for a video. Like, if you'll be in the video, then yeah, I'll watch you. And I was like, oh, yeah, bet. Yeah, hell yeah, I'll take one for the team. I didn't know what it meant, so it wasn't like a thing yet. And so anyway, she was like, you're gonna be Chili's boyfriend in the video. And
yeah, okay.
And that's how it's, and so from then
who
on.
Who don't want that job?
Yeah, right. I was like, all right, bet, cool. So that's how I started. Like, we got pulled in, Pebbles brought me in, and it kind of opened up the back door so I could see, like, how shit worked. Like, the first time I ever met with her, she had me come down to a video set, like, an editing bay, where she was editing, like, a TLC video and, like, explaining to me why certain shit was happening. So I was, like, you know, I was always intrigued by that part. And eventually she was like, you know what, you really do have an interest and a knack for the understanding because you speak both sides. Like, you ain't really tripping, like on people who work at the record company, like, thinking, you know, you got to be a different kind of way, but you also are delivering the message, you know, in a way that is understood.
Mm.
So, yeah, she was like, you should be with L.A. Like, you should work with L.A. So she's the person who put me on with L.A. Reid, who brought me in to start doing A&R. So that's how I got in as an executive.
Man, and you just been turning that shit up every... Look at this shit. Somebody find the other years. Can't find the other years, man. Toni Braxton, bro. That's, you worked on one of the biggest songs.
Yeah, you make
of our generation.
Well, that was, I mean, like, the hard part about taking credit for shit like that is, like, she was already Toni Braxton. Like,
exactly, but you came when that happened.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, bet.
No, that's one of her biggest songs.
But I was able to, like, just connect some shit. Like, my homeboy Bryce, who was in this group Groove Theory, was like
they dope as hell
as fuck. So he producing, and Babyface, like, I'm at LaFace, so I'm connected to Babyface. So I'm like, man, it'll be hard if Babyface wrote over one of your tracks, like one of them hard ass records, and he wrote You're Making Me Hot for that.
When you see how you tell the shit so normal, man, this is fucking crazy. You know how good you have to be at music for Babyface to even talk to you?
Well, no, actually, you know, you just gotta not be scared of Babyface.
But I'm saying, like, then when you're not scared of him, you have to really deliver some good shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Babyface.
Yeah, he Babyface.
He writes songs like, yeah.
Yeah, End of the Road.
Sing that. It's over.
Yeah, Can We Talk.
You can't even name all the shit that Babyface.
No, you can't. Yeah, so that's why this shit, like, well, I can't trip, because I know Babyface. I've seen him. Like, the niggas I know are, like, really, like.
Bro, if he come to the trap, we shutting this bitch down. We not even going to record nothing else in here.
They gotta move.
We got a new location, bro.
Yeah, y'all actually might want to just go to his house or some shit, like.
Bro, nah, cause then we're not gonna want to go back to our house. His shit way nice, too nice. I wouldn't even feel nice enough to go over Babyface's house.
Hey, nah, man.
Those, where you at? I ain't coming. It's Babyface, man. I'm not coming.
Hey, man. Babyface cool.
I believe that, man.
Like, you know, they from, like, Ohio.
Okay.
Like, they just some dudes, man. Like, they really cool as hell.
Who and is they? Joke. Is Babyface in some more
niggas? Yeah, like, L.A. L.A. Babyface.
Oh, okay. I thought when you met Babyface, you had to meet, like, a group.
All the Babyface. Like, hey, we are Babyface.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you made it sound. Like, yeah. Like, it's a group of niggas. Yeah, they cool, man.
Like Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a group. Fuck with Bruno Mars, man. That nigga, him and Anderson .Paak, they got some.
Yeah, that's it. Like, here's the thing. I love Anderson .Paak. Anderson, his shit is dope, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I rock with Bruno. He's a great entertainer.
And I feel like he is the perfect mix of everybody.
He is, man. And that's what it is. It's like, he's a Yeah, he's like a little super.
He's every
super
nationality. He can be anybody.
He's
like, he fit everywhere, bro.
That nigga jam.
He could be at a Floyd Mayweather fight. He could be at a Manny Pacquiao birthday party. Playboy Mansion. The Soul Train Award. The BT Super Bowl
Awards.
Bruno Mars.
He can show up at Gucci Man spot. He can be with Gucci Man.
Gucci Man and a Bruno Mars. That's a hit.
But they got one. They got one. Hi.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gucci Man and Bruno Mars. Wow.
Yeah, Bruno. They need a whole album.
Actually, I just want Bruno to do. He should do like an album with everybody he like.
He should. I think he should do one song with everybody in the industry. He's multicultural like that.
Yeah. He get it.
Don't worry about that. Just mean the chicken rib.
Oh, shit. What we got?
I don't know what the fuck that mean. What happened? The light died or some shit. Whatever. It's a sign, though, that we on the right path. Bruno Mars can do music with anybody.
Light bulb. Idea. I get it.
Hey, man, what type of advice do you give people when they ask you about the music industry? Because clearly you've seen it go from actual physical hard copies to a digital age. And, you know, it's only a few people that have really broke through on the digital age. Like,
man, this ain't because of the shirt, but it's like, really, it's like, I would normally used to say be dope. Just be dope. Like, that shit will cut through and get you to have the opportunity to learn all the other shit.
Right.
But have something that nobody else can do. Like, if you can fuck around and do something that
some intangible shit.
Intangible shit. And I'm like, and nobody can tell you. Nobody can tell you what that is.
Nah.
So, it's like, but you gotta be the best version of yourself. Like, you gotta be cool enough with yourself to, like, receive that shit. Like, that's why Tip is Tip. Because he really is, that's just who he is. So every message or everything that comes through is unadulterated, because it's like he ain't putting shit on it.
Keep that shit real. That's the first step to being great.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you got to be able to tune out criticism.
Yeah, that shit, man. Listen, if you ask for some advice, listen to it, filter it out, see what worked for what you're trying to do. Right. Some of it might, some of it ain't.
Some people don't know how to listen to advice.
Ah.
You got to, like, you. Sometimes the whole advice might not work.
Nah.
Sometimes the whole advice be too big for your situation. You just got to take the part.
Yeah, like, oh.
Like, this part worked. I ain't fucking with that yet. But later on, you got to remember the whole shit. But you can only apply the shit that worked for you.
But that's the part, like, okay, and be aware of your, like, self-awareness, bro.
In the moment.
Yeah, you got to be aware all the time. Like, if you want to do this, because it's you in a world of creative people. It's people making up shit all the time.
Exactly.
And you got to figure out how to ride this wave of creativity, but remain real in it, right? And that shit is a whole nother level of awareness. like, I just assume, like, if you surfing, like, the awareness you have with the water, you gotta have that kind of, that level of concentration and awareness riding this shit.
Don't you hate this shit when you hide in the Capri Sun and Star won't come out?
Yeah, because ain't nothing you can do to make it seem cool. You gotta get some scissors. Like somebody. There you go.
Shit. I hate that. That's the most uncool shit you can do.
Don't
on this
give
show.
Up, though.
But I always drink some kind of, you know, juice when a nigga start saying real shit.
Yeah, you didn't give up.
I never will. That's part of my perseverance.
Yep.
Put that on the wall by my name.
Perseverance. Never give up.
Never gave up. Got it out the mud.
Where's the mud, by the way?
Shit, I'm from Mississippi. Yeah, the mud everywhere, is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Shit, my driveway.
Hey, man. That's the beat where he is.
Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, he the one.
Check this out. We got the same birthday.
Oh, shit.
That's why I'm here. He's my official, unofficial co-host.
That's what's up.
We take Marvin Gaye everywhere, bro.
You should, you know.
Hell yeah. What kind of shit you think you and Marvin Gaye would have got into in the studio?
Possible
musically.
Arguments. No, definitely. Only just arguments. I mean, because, I don't know, man. I don't know that Aries do well together in that kind of space.
Who you argue with the most in the studio? All these greats.
Argue with the most?
Yeah.
Tip. But I don't argue. We don't argue. But debates are like, they're like intense.
Like, just about random shit.
Anything. Anything. Like, just cause. Like, just cause.
That's just how, that's part of the creativity.
It is. But you know, it's the reason why he can write a T.I. versus T.I.P. Because he really is, he's arguing with you to hear the whole part. Like, what's your whole point? To have an understanding. Like, I've never seen nobody argue as much as much as him. But he does it with, he actually listens to the other part. Like, I think most people be arguing just to hear themselves be loud. He really trying to get, like, a real, like a convicted.
He's argumentative, point. Though. He's...
Absolutely.
Who's second, then? Because I figured it would be him.
Really?
Second. Pull a list of shit out. That's all we got for now. I mean, we ain't mean no disrespect. Cause no, we know you did a lot of shit.
Don't do that.
That's all the internet allow us to have. You know, times is hard. They cutting back on everything, even information.
They get brought back down to 3G.
I'm telling you, when we got to the second page, they were just like, ask him. That's what it said on the bottom.
Hey, man. So, I'm sorry. So, listen. You know what? Because we've known each other long, it's probably Outkast. And not Outkast, the both of them, but me and Big Boy.
For real?
Yeah.
So you've been all, like, in the creative process with them, bro. They probably got some great shit that the world never heard.
Absolutely. Like, there's a version of, like, CeeLo singing Happy. It's crazy.
CeeLo Green singing Happy?
Yeah.
If that don't never come out, we should just invite CeeLo to karaoke. Just so you know.
Yeah.
The world, do you understand how much the world need to hear that?
Yeah, it's fun. It's great too.
That song already sold like 12 billion copies. They should at least leak that.
Nah.
All right.
Nah.
We can't redo it and say I'm in a good mood or nothing.
Pleasant.
I'm feeling decent. Decent as hell. That's the best they gonna let a nigga feel. Cause we decent.
That's about right.
Don't wanna be happy cause they'll shut the whole shit down for real. Niggas be decent.
Shit. Like, that's gospel. What?
That's all of these.
We should do it. Decent.
Decent.
Hey, man, ain't nobody got that one. Come on, you the A&R. Make the call. I'll call CeeLo.
Call CeeLo.
I know he'll be with the shit.
He'll do it.
I'm going to call his son first and then have his son tell him.
And what you should do is have him do it at y'all's show.
Decent.
Let him do it live like Erykah Badu did Tyrone.
What if we fucking record the shit in the song hard than the motherfucker? That's then he send the bill and that one won't be able to come out either.
Damn.
I mean, sure. When he
damn. All right, man, I appreciate y'all fucking
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, it was tight. Yeah.
Delete that shit. Delete all that.
Nah, I think you good. Like, you understand, y'all like, y'all are like a big part of the culture.
We ain't even know it yet.
Yeah.
See, we still playing catch up. See, we still putting the whole history of the culture together. Okay. So that's why we had to bring you.
Okay.
Because there's so much shit you've been a part of in Atlanta, mm-hmm. in the world, that had an impact on the culture. So once we catch up with, all right, these are the people who was like, this the culture that we were seeing before we was a part of it.
Right, okay.
Look at how much of my favorite shit you done put on this list. So I got this platform. I gotta invite you and ask you, nigga, how?
Man, you know what? Just being open to it. Like, that's it, man. Like, the real of it is I've never put that much on it because I recognize how much goes into it. Like, how many people, like, it take to make some shit, like, work for real.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's like my awareness for that makes it, like, not that. It makes it to where I just want to keep doing shit. If I see somebody doing something dope and I can help or assist, if I can put somebody together, if I can, whatever I can do to kind of amplify or put a amp on that, like, that's what I feel like I'm supposed to do. Like, mm-hmm. but that's on some DJ shit too, because it's like that muscle of being able to, like, play music, see a crowd, trying to find a way to make everybody feel involved. It's like when you can figure that out, if you can do that in other places, it's you know, same feeling.
How long you been DJing?
Shit, since I was 13. What is that?
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, like,
I always wonder how
people know that it could be a DJ.
So this is weird, right? So this is probably like the most hip hop ass story like ever. So when I was like 10, 11, I used to go to the airport at Atlanta, at Hartsfield. They used to have the shit where you can take those little carts, and when you return them from like people leaving them, it would give you 25 cents. So I used to go, we would go find all the carts, take them, get the money. They had a game room in the airport, like an arcade. So me and my cousin, we would go in and do this shit and play video games for like an hour. I'm playing video games one day, and this dude walks up. I'm playing this kung fu game, you know, it's like a two-player jump. And dude was like, yo, shorty, can I play this game with you? And I'm like, you know, some weirdo shit, like, you know, not like, why? And so he's like, I mean, no, it's just, you know, it's my game. And I looked up, and he had a necklace on, and it had, like, Chinese lettering. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we're playing, and I was like, what does that say? And then he was like, it was LL Cool J. And I'm like, what's that mean? And he was like, Lays Love Cool J. I was like... But this is like, again, 10, 11. This ain't like, I don't know yet. So, but like, this is like hip hop is starting, like to branch out. So I'm in the airport and he's talking to me and I'm like, he starts breaking down and he travels the world. He's in Atlanta doing a show and he has this song, Radio. No, I Need a Beat. And I was like, oh, I know that shit. And me and I'm like, so wait a minute, so what you doing here? And he's telling me all this shit. Like, I travel the world, you know, and he's LL Cool J talking. So I'm like a kid, like, oh wow, it's like some Mean Joe Green shit. And he's like, yo, won't you come back? And the shit sound weird saying the story now, but he's like, won't you come back and meet my people? And I'm like, I tell my cousin, let's go. And this is before TSA, so you can go wherever in the airport. So we go back to their gate, and it's him, it's like the Beastie Boys, it's like Def Jam. And he's telling me shit, and he introduces me to Cut Creator. And he's like, he's the DJ. And he's like, I'm like, so what you do? Because he seemed like the most chill person there. Like, he was like the, you know, like the Beastie Boys were like sprawled out in the airport. It was like it was some rap shit. But he seemed like cool and aware of shit. And he was like, well, you know, I keep the shit going. And that, we go fast forward. I go home. I tell my mom for Christmas I want turntables. And she gets me turntables. And that's how I started.
Man, that's the craziest shit I have ever heard, bruh. A lot of people then came through here and told a lot of stories, but ain't nobody told no fucking LL Cool J story. So you just a kid, minding your business with a pocket full of quarters. That you got, relocating airport buggies. LL Cool J like, yo, little man, what type of fucking Coca-Cola commercial shit is this? He done told an 11-year-old kid, yo, son, I'm a rapper, I travel. Yo, come meet my people. Those are the Beastie Boys. Excuse me, they drunk. Young man, make better decisions in your life. Don't be drunk at the airport. My man Cut Creator right here. Like, he's the father figure of the group. You see how he's a red? What the fuck, man? And then as he was leaving, he took off his Kangol and was like, hey, little man. Now keep in mind, was the 80s. So he went home. He was like, yo, moms, yo. I was in the airport today, cold chilling. That little Cool J pulls up on me. Where's my mother? I'm sorry, you're my mother. Listen. So he wants me to, yo, he totally wants me to go sign with Def Jam. I was like, LL, no disrespect to my mans, but I'm 11. He's like, yo, shorty, we got tutors on the bus. You ever heard of these kids? Yo, look at this dope chain he gave me, man. I'm really part of the crew. Killing. So I ran away at 11, went on tour with Def Jam.
I didn't, and Jermaine did.
Exactly. Damn. See?
Yeah.
It could have been you and Jermaine.
Yeah, straight up. Damn it.
Man, yeah. That is some of the dopest shit I have ever heard.
No, the best part of it for me is, like, so I had this little Radio Shack Walkman, and the nigga asked me, could he buy it? And I had paid like $10 for it. Listen, I paid about $10, $12 for it. My mama did. I sold it to him for $40.
Bro, what type? LL Cool J, you remember this shit? Come up here and tell us what happened. It was really LL Cool J. And that nigga bought your Walkman at the Atlanta airport.
40.
For the 40.
At 11.
I had $40 like, in box. Like $40 plus about $7 worth of quarters I had. Like, nigga, I was so good.
I bet you came home like, Mom, you can quit your job.
We made it.
This airport shit is I got lucrative. This.
Watch. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be a black kid and come home with $40. Your grandma gonna you break down crying. My grandson in the street.
Yeah.
He came home with a pocket full of money.
Quarters, no less. Oh, man.
Man, that's the wildest shit, though. Shout out to LL Cool J. Yeah, man. Without that interaction, none of this shit would have happened.
Yeah.
All it takes is that. It just be that little piece of fucking...
Yeah, the one to go play some fucking video
games. How good of a DJ Cut creator was, bro. You didn't even see him DJ.
Not one fucking time.
You didn't even see him around no fucking
But let me tell you
music.
What happened, though. But let me tell you what I did, like, about 3 months after that. That fucking, what's my DJ's name? Cut creator. I heard that goddamn song. Like, I know this nigga. like...
Bruh, until you told this... Like, I bet every time you have told that story, it was unbelievable until this point in time. Now people on the internet gonna be like, yo, I worked at the Atlanta airport back then. He is not lying.
Somebody know. I'm saying I was up that bitch every weekend, bro, like just taking them fucking buggies back.
Damn. You probably made first 100,000 in quarters.
I had definitely.
That's one of the busiest airports in the world. I'm sure it was carts everywhere.
Bruh, listen, I feel like they stopped letting you get the quarters because of us. Like, they don't do that shit no more. Like, you can't go get no refund now. Like,
man.
Like, we caked up.
That's crazy, though. Damn. You ever run into LL Cool J again?
I did. Yeah.
Did you tell him that story?
I did.
Did he remember it?
Nah. He was like, I remember. Like, he did it. You know what I'm saying? He did it. Atlanta? Okay.
Because he probably was doing bruh, shit
like everywhere. He probably like buying little niggas Walkmans. Like just like a Walkman, like Radio Shack ass.
Yeah. Young niggas don't know I'm doing them a favor. They don't need that shit in me.
And you know what's crazy? Today, LL's planted a seed. Today I bought this little hat from the Waterboy dude. They got these hats. Waterboys in the hood. I got it in the car now. Like, you got to support. You got to pay it forward.
Okay. Wait till that one day they catch you with no money and they stun on you. You man. Think them water boys out there struggling.
No. I didn't say
no more. I broke ass, boy. Don't worry about it. They can't pour no water, boy. Choke a heart. Here you talking about. Yeah.
Hey, man. I respect the hustle. It's fine.
They'll keep it real with you, though. Because yeah. They caught me. I ain't had no cash. They were like, nah, we sure ain't no money. Go ahead, bro. We just fuck with you on the show.
They real, bro.
Some of them.
Like, they grown.
Some of them niggas, that's what I'm saying. Some of them niggas is grown men because the nigga had me shaving under his neck.
Hey, man, they definitely got
had grown. Shave bumps and shit. I'm they like, well, how old are you? Bro, I keep shit up, bro. Go ahead. The light green, bro. Light green, bro. Go ahead. You acting way too much. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, and they gave me grown man eye contact. Like, what? Oh, nah, cool. All right. Let me get one of them hats.
Man, them niggas take that shit serious, too. They need you to just let them post up, because I had threw the nigga $5 one time. He, I was like, bro, you keep the water. He like, man, drink this damn water, bro. I didn't have like him. Just drop him on the seat. I was like, I get it, bro.
Like, shit. They care.
I guess they give a fuck.
That's how they got a name. They built a brand like that shit done made it out of Atlanta. Like the myth of like it's mythology in LA. Like
just like Dallas Austin. Like everything in the world that done happened, he was right there.
Yeah.
You work with Dallas Austin.
Yeah.
How you run into Dallas Austin?
Dallas used to live in College Park, so it's like. Skating rink, like everywhere the niggas was at, Dallas was there.
Right.
Like, but he was just
see
as the rich.
And that's
dude.
What I was saying. Like, he be everywhere that niggas be at.
Yeah, yeah. Dallas. I mean, because he's from here too. Like, and I think that might be the Atlanta superpower. Like, the ability to be comfortable wherever you at. Like, you get there, you're like, all right, I ain't finna disrespect nobody. I'm not gonna allow nobody to disrespect me. It's gonna be fine. and you just enjoy it. Like, we don't really go out of town and cause problems. You don't hear about Atlanta niggas going somewhere and causing an uproar. This don't happen.
Man, that might be the coldest shit you said, though, man. I hope all the niggas in all the other cities just peep the message. Man, learn how to fucking act. So much great shit can happen when niggas start acting right.
That's it. Act right.
A little act right, man. I guess that's just the down south shit too, man. We a little,
okay, so.
I mean, we crazy in our own right, but at least we, you know, it's a certain level of respect that's given before it's just disrespect.
Yeah. And it's actually usually, it's whatever energy you bring is going to get met.
Yeah.
More than, it ain't even disrespect at that point. It's usually like shit, self-defense. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But like,
and the element of surprise too.
That'll do it every time.
You know, sometimes you might be arguing with one motherfucker and then 100 motherfuckers turn around and you be like, all y'all with him?
Yeah.
Nah, I was just saying,
hey,
bro.
Nah, like, I ain't tripping.
I'm out at a nigga. You feel like?
Hey, man, listen, I seen it, like, it's a, it was this club, 559.
Legendary comedy spot, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so this, okay, amateur night, 559 comedy shit. Some dude, it's an apartment, or project next to it called Harris Home.
Come on.
Okay, so niggas from Harris Home would come to 559 to do amateur night.
They're not comedy?
Really, yeah, like, they just come, like, at the bar.
So it's just regular hood niggas, and they would come sign up.
Who, like, you know how, like, boy, you should do that shit. Them niggas, like.
All like the, a gang of them.
Yeah, and they would just come do it. And so, like, they up there, and they're not necessarily funny, except for the niggas who came with them, because they know the joke.
Right.
Like, you know, a big head ass nigga, so, you know what I'm saying? And they talking about somebody specific.
Right, so it's killing these niggas, but the, okay.
Them three, them niggas rolling. But, so, it's, this particular night, it's two dudes from New York. And it's 90s. It's like early 90s. Now, 94-ish, 95. Versace might have been just kicking off.
Okay.
So, like, short sets and Cartier. So, it's some New York dudes there and there. They're frustrated by not understanding the jokes. So, one of them stands up and's like, yo, man, cut me out. Get the fuck off the stage. And, like, goes, you know, he went ham. And dude on the stage said, hey, buddy, hold on. Hey, where you from, shawty? He said, the Boogie Down. He said, oh, okay. So geographically, you're not really thinking this through. And he was like, huh? And he said, see, because the way I see it is, if some shit go down in the next 5 minutes, you got to call New York. I got to call the bar. And at this moment, he was like, what? And he was about to wolf back. His partner jumped up and knocked him clean out. Saved the both of them.
His own homeboy knocked him?
His homeboy knocked him the fuck out. Clean, cold.
Bro, that story was going like this, then that bitch went.
That's how... So the reason why he stood up is because when he said, my folks at the bar, literally the whole club stood up like, yeah.
It was a save. He went in defense mode.
He was like, bro, I...
Oh, y'all think I'm with him?
Yeah.
Keep the show going. Who next from Harris Home?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't stand this nigga B. He's always fucking saying the wrong shit, man. No disrespect. No disrespect, son. I don't know, son. But I know, son. I was supposed to buy something from him.
But
you
yeah.
understand? So I don't know, son. So when he wake up, I'm going to knock him back out if the show ain't over. No all disrespect.
Right. Now, finish.
He said the book. I'm from Harlem, son. I know.
Yeah. No. It took a turn for him, man.
Damn. That's some crazy shit. Comedy club always got some bullshit going on. If it's going to be a hard, like, if they got a good headliner, somebody get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Last show I had in Florida, I knew shit was about to get crazy. They was laughing so hard, lady leaned back, her whole goddamn wig fell off. I'm thinking she finna, you know, try to scramble and put it on. She just took the motherfucker off and laid it on her chair. Did I put it back on in a minute? This shit... She laughing hard in the motherfucker, man. Some lady, she drunk. She mad. She get up talking shit. She done came and sat all on the stage. I'm thinking security about to come. So she get up and get back walking around. This black lady just came up and was like, bop! Knocked the ass out. They was about to throw her out. I was like, no, don't throw her out. They threw the lady who got knocked out. So as she get up, she still in the club fucking with people. How about this shit? Crazy. The white lady get up, slap the shit out of her. everybody in the club cheering like a motherfucker. What? I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, man. Because if this shit make the news.
Yeah. You did it.
It wasn't me. It was the crowd. That's how Florida get down.
Nah, whatever brand of comedy you brought.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that shit started happening.
It's ass kickingly good. I'm gonna have to switch it up, do some dolphin jokes or something. This other shit too bad about it.
Y'all on the road. Y'all out now, right?
Come on, man.
Nah, see.
You see it? Yeah. We out here. Ghetto Legends Tour.
Yes, sir.
We right here. Yeah, man.
How's been out there?
Man, we taking it one step at a time. Like, we been overdosing on wine. You feel me? Yeah. Man, it's been all love. Them people missed the hell out of us, man.
Yeah.
We went to Biloxi and sold damn near 8,000 tickets, man. Just out there showing mad love to the people who need it.
One time for Biloxi.
Yeah, exactly. And Macon came out and showed us love.
Macon, what's up?
Hell yeah. We got some cool shit coming over here, man. We just working.
Okay. Yeah.
We got motherfuckers like you coming through here and just dropping game on us. Let us know that LL Cool J is out here buying Walkmans and
everything. For little kids.
Bro, what else strange done happened in this motherfucker?
Man, I don't.
That can't be the wildest shit that done happened in the music industry.
No, it's probably not.
But that's a cold one, though.
Yeah, that one applies to me, so I can, you know, I don't mind having to tell that story.
Damn. That's a hell of a come up, man.
Oh, listen,
that might have just been destiny for you to fuck with that music then.
No, absolutely. I feel like, look, I'm not fighting it. Like, and I think that's the other one. It's like, I ain't fighting no feeling. Like, if I felt it, it's honest, and that's what I'm roll with.
Mm.
So, I feel like my discernment is in good standing because I don't really, like, my intent is good.
If you do good, good will come to you.
Yeah, you from the South.
That's real shit.
Grandma would talk.
What you mean? Like, I'm really from the South. I'm talking about like with that water pump in the front yard.
Yeah.
That's the type of South. With that good cold air water in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That type of shit.
Okay.
I'm talking about, I'm so from the South, like our dog ain't never came in the house. You feel me?
Yeah, that's outside. That dog, you don't bring that dog.
I'm talking about so from the South when you can spend the whole weekend at your grandma's house and don't have no clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's fine. Turn the things inside out.
Exactly. I'm real South, bro. I'm talking about when your grandma and your mama, they open up all the doors when they fry chicken. You can smell that shit in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, but it don't fuck the house up.
Right. You know about that. I'm talking about lay your school clothes out.
Yeah, and not because you choosing, it's because this is what you're wearing.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's real South shit.
It's real South shit.
Yeah, like, boy, go to bed.
For real, for real.
Take your ass to bed.
South. I'm talking about real South where you be like, I'm hot, and they just be like, be still. Sit down somewhere.
Be quiet. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's the real South shit. I'm talking about where the ice cream man just pull up and turn the van off.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
One stop.
Yeah, first of all, it's going because the person with money going to take about 10 minutes to come out of the house.
One stop.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't playing no ice cream man music.
Mm-hmm. He
straight
Master
Gucci.
P. Well, I'm sorry.
He playing Gucci Lemonade.
Yeah,
that's the official hood ice cream man.
I've heard that.
Let me have my ways in the free cup.
Yeah, it's real shit. Damn, I've actually heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've heard that, like, recent.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. Did they change it?
I wonder where the fuck you buy an ice cream truck from.
Ice cream truck store.
You ain't never rode past nowhere and they had a bunch of ice cream trucks out there for sale.
I mean, where you get a mail truck at? They don't sell mail trucks, do they?
I mean, they not about to let you have a mail truck. Unless you work for them. You got to work at the post office to buy like an old mail truck.
Union for like ice cream niggas.
I don't know. I think them niggas be making their own decals.
But who put the refrigerator in?
Some of them don't have it. It just be a chain defreezer in there, bitch, with a power converter.
Niggas electrician, too, then.
Amen.
You do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. That's what it is.
That's a hustle, though. Because we ain't never even find out who ice cream men work for.
where the ice cream came from.
Exactly. These motherfuckers might be working for the federal government.
Poisoning. And y'all talking about Corona.
And then they always talk about all the shit that they put in the projects in the ghetto. Won't nobody investigate where the fuck all that ice cream came from? You thinking about it.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know these niggas. Like, they were all old, weird.
In urban areas and places that you couldn't get pizza delivered. And they would show up right at the most violent time.
Like,
if you
in
think
the middle
about
of a football game type shit. Like
6 o'clock when it's almost dark. These niggas pull up. Ting, ling, ling, ling. You can hear that music. And be like, everybody know what the fuck that music is. Nigga, the dope boy, like, shit, ice cream truck.
Hey, little man. Hey, little, hey.
Hey, bring me a baseball glove with the bug on.
What you want, a moon pop? A moon bomb? What you want? Yep.
And then you remember all those, like, propaganda don't do drugs movies from the 80s? They'll have kids, like, getting shot because they didn't bring the dope boy his change back. Yo, little man, where's my $5? Pow, pow, pow.
See, kids.
Why was he shot? Because he was smoking crack. That's like, what?
No, he tried to take that nigga money.
Bro, if we go back and watch that shit now, they probably destroyed all them. Them little Friday afternoon special shits they used to show us in at school.
Man, listen, like, I'm watching, like, they do these, like, commercials from the 80s, and you see how, like, weird shit look now. Like, the people that you bought shit from, like, kids buying from little pineapple cut white boys, like, their hair was, like, and they bangs, like Justin Bieber.
I'm gonna fuck you up. Remember that show Mr. Wizard?
Yep.
Creepy old white man. Just pick up some random kids, take them to his house, and do science experiments.
This makes this LL Cool J story way weirder the way that you talk, like, when you think about
it. Think about it, man. LL Cool J in the airport. All these people trying to, yo, LL, can we get a picture?
No, by the way, no. It wasn't even, he wasn't famous yet. This was I Need a Beat. It wasn't videos.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't, like, this is, I don't even, was it like 80?
This was real underground hip hop shit.
Yeah, it's like, I Need a Beat. Like, this is Def Jam. 88,
89?
Yeah, it was early, like
86.
Yeah, that's it. 10, 11, yes. Yeah. Yeah, man. So it's like he was really just, he was on the come up. He's just a good hearted dude, I guess. You know what
yeah.
I mean? He see a little nigga out here hustling. Like, let me buy that Walkman for over. I mean, over, how much? 40? All right, here you go, shorty. Because he had to know the shit was Radio Shack. It was like realistic.
They probably said Radio Shack.
They said realistic. Like, that's a Radio Shack brand. Whatever.
He just really needed one.
He might have fucking been listening. What if he was listening to the demo of, like, the rest of the radio album?
He was probably listening to the instrumentals and writing the rhyme.
That's what I'm talking about.
On your shit. Now, that's New Face type shit.
That is. Like, that guy, damn,
that's
New Face.
New Face type shit, man.
Like, yeah, so 84 is, yeah.
Damn. You really been out here in these streets.
Yeah, it was 11. Yep, that was 11.
So you so deep in the hip-hop. How you get to in the studio with Pink and shit like that?
So I started doing
A&R. You got a broad range of shit.
I like music, man. I grew up, like, it wasn't an algorithm.
Put us up on some shit that niggas might not know about, like some outside of the normal shit. What should, throw us some shit we can go fuck with.
You mean like just
basically some white people shit? That's some shit you know about that you wish more niggas knew about.
You know what? It ain't even, I don't know if it's not white people shit, but nothing like that. But Suge Otis, like, it's
Suge Otis.
Suge Otis.
You fuck with it? I know you see. Okay.
Oh yeah, he's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, the thing is, it's like a bunch of, it's like so much music, bro. Like, at this point, I don't even. Like, my brain just, like, shut down when you ask that question.
Damn.
Like,
you stingy.
There you go. New Face. We done talked him up. That's crazy. New Face is actually here.
Suge Otis. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Let me think. Who? See, I'm just in a different place. I'm really heavy Moneybagg, yo, right now.
You fucking with Moneybagg? Y'all ain't did nothing yet?
I mean, yeah. I mean, well, he worked with us at, well, he worked with Pharrell in the Neptunes.
Tell me about this shit, man. Tell me about what you and Pharrell over there doing.
Honestly, man, we're just trying to keep contributing, bro. Like, that's honestly all it is. It's like the goal is to be able to contribute and learn from, like, everybody, like the newer artists, the catalog artists, the classic, you know, the people we came up with.
Right.
But like making sure that, you know, there's a bridge of information and just the fundamentals get passed on.
If for real came on this bitch, I know this shit'll blow up in Japan. You know how many people that is?
A lot. It's billions.
Just don't know.
He's popular, man. He's popular everywhere. Like, Happy was like a big song.
I was just about to ask you, is he gonna do another one?
You can't do another Happy. How do you do
it? He should do every emotion.
Say. I'm
got
down.
Got me fucked up. Grab the gat, cause these niggas don't know that shit is real. Got me fucked up.
Nigga, that'd be hard.
Yeah.
Put Money Bag Yo on it?
Nigga, what? Huh?
Pooh Shiesty?
Brr. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, anything is possible, bro.
You be playing that shit? You be putting them up on shit? Like, the new shit?
Yeah, but, like, on some real shit, like, I think we all put each other up on shit. Like, he'll hit me with some, like, he might have hit me with Money Bag Yo one morning. Like, yo, you listen to this? I was already up on it, but the fact that he woke up at 6 in the morning, like, you heard this shit? Like, and then that's what happened. He actually went on his podcast, said how much he liked Moneybagg Yo. Moneybagg's people reached out to me, and then we were like, well, yeah, let's get them together. And, yeah, then we got two records on this new album.
Fuck took you so long to say that, man? You just saw me pull up in the Monte Carlo. You
I
know
did.
I be listening to Moneybagg Yo on that bitch. I just looked at my Rizzo, got time today. I use that voice when I rap his
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, because it's a good voice. It's a great voice to rap.
I don't in. Like niggas, don't like bitches, don't like nobody.
I don't backtrack, I don't miss nobody.
Man, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
That nigga cold, man.
Yeah, man.
There's so many cold niggas out here, but every rapper that's rapping about some violent shit is getting life.
I mean, listen, bro, like, especially when they rapping about it and it feel real.
Shit, it is.
That's the point.
It be on video. Them niggas will go in the club, get to fight and shoot that bitch up, drop the coldest song the next day, put the surveillance camera video.
In their video.
They put the news clip. 16 people were shot at a local Atlanta nightclub last night. Y'all nigga know what it is. Nigga got shot
last night.
Something to do with it. Nigga got shot and I had something to do with it.
It said 16.
Nigga got shot and I had something to do with it. And I had something to do with it. Ordered a drink, about 12. Bitch, it didn't come. Went to the car, changed my shirt, and got my gun.
Gun. Yeah.
Them niggas be too detailed, bro.
Yeah, nigga had on
they
a red shirt.
They get on the song, make the diss record. Not only talk about the shooting, but talk about the injuries and where the bullets hit that nigga, bro.
Yeah.
Your homeboy talking shit, but that 12 gang hit him in his chest, came down his breast cavity and hit him in the breast, came out the nipple, hit his back, now he paralyzed, hit him in the eye. He could see. I had on a disguise. I'm like, oh my God.
It was Ronald Reagan, because I know nigga don't know who that is.
What? They tell you the kind of bullets that you 223 hit the car, engine cut off. What the fuck?
Tell your little partner, my bad, ain't mean to step on his J's.
What?
No, man. Like
these niggas are too. They good at what they do.
Yeah, man. Like,
but
they,
I'm just saying,
good
bro, if they just changed the subject matter and made it positive, it might even hit harder, bro. I'm telling you, what if niggas just start rapping about shit that you never expected them to rap about? They start rapping about fucking solar systems and hidden planets and shit. Niggas start rapping about that hidden color shit.
There's actually more people who know about that than there are who actually know how to sell crack.
Like, exactly.
Everybody don't really know how to sell, though.
Nigga, crack really been out of style.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it ain't really, like, the biggest population of people that don't do criminal
shit. Do you understand, like, crack ain't even, like, selling crack ain't even a top profession no more? You can make more money as a YouTuber than you can selling crack. You can make more money doing live streams for 2 hours than you could selling crack for a whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fly. Like, if you're doing it, you just didn't develop like no new skills.
Do you understand? You could trade Forex right now and make more money selling crack. Do you understand that people who sell crack make less than people who work for Amazon? Minus, that's not even including the benefits.
No, there are no benefits.
That's what I'm telling you. Think about when a drug dealer died.
You don't.
I'm just saying, when you ever seen like when a street nigga died, them niggas be, they net worth be $16,000. Like, you did all this in the streets.
The $16,000.
Like,
they still doing GoFundMe? Fuck.
Nigga, you owe $12,000 on an Escalade. So basically, all right, you took all these chances for $4,000, my nigga, and some outfits.
Hey, man, but throwback Thursday, though, for the rest of your life. That's what you did it for. Remember that? Man, I remember when I was that boy.
Nah, man, I don't shit. Because I remember real drug dealers. Not saying that drug dealers.
Yeah, what's that mean?
Nah, I'm just saying, like, drug dealers from the 90s and shit. When I was growing up, that shit looked like the life.
It's like pre-internet, right?
Man, before the internet came, man, the drug dealers just looked like they was having fun all the time. They had nice cars. They had fine women. They had the nicest animals. They had the best dogs. They were just...
They might have had snakes.
Everybody was outside. All the crackheads was outside washing cars and shit. It was just a better environment when the drug dealers, when they was just put outside being drug dealers with the music playing, and your uncle be like, hey, get your ass from over there. What? They're not even selling drugs right now.
I like this
song.
We're
just in the neighborhood. I grew up. Get your ass in the house. You know they sell drugs. They going to the jail. They going to the penitent. All of them. Everybody. Look at them. It was always that one old nigga who didn't approve. Y'all just gonna sit here and eat this barbecue that he bought with this drug money. Do you want a rib? Hell yeah, I want a rib. I'm just saying. I thought y'all wasn't gonna give me.
Yeah.
It's no. Back when the drug dealers gave a fuck about the community.
Yeah, they had to.
Just saying.
Like, they didn't have a side hustle getting, like, doing Instagram Live.
They need to, but they can't be on Instagram Live talking about the shit they did while they were selling drugs.
They do, though.
But you can't.
They do it now. I'm trying to tell them. Their guns, their drugs, their, like, all the stuff is on the live.
Stop doing that.
That's the act right.
I tell motherfuckers all the time, don't record me doing shit illegal.
Well, just, see, my thing is, I just don't do it.
Me either.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
I need to be in a safe environment.
By the way, the trap is a very, like, I feel so safe here, bro.
It is safe.
It feel like it.
Yeah, it's because not that we're doing, we're just trapping media out of here. That's all it is. It's the 85 South Show.
Yeah,
this is the number one rated black show amongst people who used to sell drugs, man. Like, when they do the polls, they get real specific.
Analytics.
You ask any black woman named Kiki what her favorite show is?
This one. Yeah, dead ass. But I mean, this is a dope show, man. Like, y'all actually, like, y'all put, like, because I'm, again, like, I'm, I don't know, I'm not famous, so.
Yes, you are.
No, no, no.
Look at this. Look at all the shit he did, y'all.
No, it's me. I work a lot.
Nigga was in the studio with Pink. You famous, bro.
I work a lot.
White people like you in this music industry, you good. Because somebody was like, you know who we need? KP. Somebody get KP on the goddamn phone.
Okay.
See?
Actually, by the way, that was L.A. A black person did that.
But he told a white dude, because you know he had a white dude, probably named Zach. Zach, do me a favor. Call KP.
A favor.
Let's get KP on this.
Okay, I like that story.
Yeah, I made it up.
I like it, Zach. What was that?
Hell yeah.
No, man,
Shout out to L.A. Reid, though, man. He put a lot of black people in position.
Like, yeah, bro. Like, him and his crew came to Atlanta and brought, like, some infrastructure.
Yeah.
Like, to a bunch of talented people and gave, like, real outlets.
Which one you met first, L.A. Reid or Babyface?
I met Pebbles first.
Pebbles.
And she introduced me to L.A., and then I met Babyface last.
So when you was meeting them, did you understand you was meeting some of the titans of the... music industry right then?
No. Oh. I knew that these people had some cars I had never seen. They had these funny trucks. Them, like, they had Range Rovers back when I didn't know what a Range Rover was. So I was like, man, they got some spaceship trucks. So I was just listening because I was like, they had shit.
Right.
And I was like, I seen that in a movie.
That's a good reason. Drop that. Look, listen to people who have shit that you don't have. They know some shit that you don't know.
Pierce, look at that.
Especially if you want the shit. But clearly you need... That's why that dude started making them internet videos where he go up to people like, hey, man, what you do? And the people, they know about the shit now. Yeah. Now they don't want nobody to tell them for real.
Yeah.
I'm going up to the house. Aquariums. White people be lying about their job. They're like, you're going to show up and take that motherfucker. They be making up shit. I hang up home decor.
Don't tell black people you can make money doing this shit.
Secret job having that, man.
Secret
That's
money.
A cold ass ring, man. He played for the Lakers or some shit.
No, man, my granddad.
Your granddad put you up on that?
Yeah, he gave me this. He left me this.
That's a family heirloom.
Mm-hmm.
You wore it to the trap. You see, that's special.
Absolutely.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your granddad, that's his ring.
It was.
He a real one.
It was.
What was he doing to have a ring like that?
Just kind of ring shit.
Just at the card game talking shit. I don't need your little money, man. My grandson, nigga, work with Mariah Carey, motherfucker. Yeah, goddamn cards again. Nigga ring this motherfucking big. You think I give a shit about this brand new truck outside? Motherfucker, give me a cigarette.
That shit was goddamn dead on.
Granddaddy talking big shit. Yeah, man. That's a hard ass ring though, man.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
You miss your granddaddy?
Yeah, man.
I was telling him about my granddad on here the other day, man.
Yeah, no, that was my real dad.
For real. I was telling him how my granddad's drawers ain't never fit. Whole life.
That's funny.
Drawers was too big. I don't know what he could have did if he would have had the right size drawers. Like, not,
nigga, you just know he chafed up. Like,
I'm just saying, I just know he wasn't comfortable, man. Yeah.
Damn. Boxer briefs. What if they had boxer briefs?
Nah, cool, you know, man. He just wore straight old man drawers. Yeah. Man. Tidy whiteys, them old ones. Mm. The old Fruit of the Loom with just the blue stripe.
Yeah.
The blue stripe and the gold stripe. Old ass drawer. Made out of t-shirt material.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Nah, man. Like, yeah, like, but my granddad, like, he was that, his drawers fit.
I ain't had that ring.
Yeah, man. It draws fit. Like, I can't.
My granddad died, left me a pocket knife. You get nail ring. Taking all my shit with me.
He wore it.
He had bitch on him. Tried to get it off. They had reinforced the motherfucker.
Yeah, no, man. So, okay. Okay.
What?
I'm just like this. I don't want to be the, like, who is this nigga over here on the couch?
This nigga. This is who he is. He's responsible for all this shit and some more shit. Nah, man. You ain't gonna be that nigga. Okay. It's just dope to know that there's dope ass people around here, man. And you, all the shit that you did, all your accomplishments made this shit right here possible, man. Hey, man. All that work y'all put in and made the city hot. And it's like, the light that y'all brought to the city is still here. You get what I'm saying? This shit's still going on.
Oh, it's somebody in the because I'm like,
you
I'm,
know where all these studios at around here.
No, well,
in this 3 mile radius, it's 30 studios. You don't know what the fuck going on tonight.
Yeah, I grew up on Deal, up the street. Like this is like just seeing all this shit grow is like amazing.
Exactly. Ain't I on a pill riding down Deal right there? Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to how many talented people in Atlanta, man.
Everybody talented.
Yeah.
You might fuck around and be getting some Waffle House, nigga, come right back. Hey, bro, no disrespect. Y'all get through eating, I can rap for you.
Yeah. And be fine.
Be fine, the motherfucker. And be from somewhere you ain't never heard of. Yeah. Shit, I'm from goddamn Book Tusa, Georgia. We just came up, DB.
Oh, you know, shit.
Trapping and shit, me and my baby mom. Take my number in your phone.
You got Instagram?
I don't really fuck with it like that because my phone fucked up.
But, you know what I'm saying? But I'm on there, though.
I'm on there. I hit you. Shit be locked.
Nine What's crazy, followers. Man, I ran into a nigga in a gas station like that a couple months ago and hit him, and the nigga played me something so left. I was like, damn, man. Okay.
Like, damn. He ain't even know.
I don't know if he knew or not. I just know that he really was not interested.
Damn.
Like, I think, but it made me laugh in a way that made me kind of proud, too. It's like, I like that people now know that they have the power to do their own shit.
Part like, of being great.
Yeah, it's like, man, dude, like, bro, I got to shout it. And what he said made me, it was almost made me feel hopeful, like on some end of a movie shit. And he was like, you know what, Sean, I'm going to just take my time and do my thing and get, you know, the folks are going to mess with me as they mess with me. I was like, all right, bro. Like, I appreciate that.
It take
that.
Forever to do that shit, but whatever.
Yeah, I was like, I whatever. Appreciate that. Good bet.
Nah. Nah, see, that ain't how you make it.
Hey, man. Hey, but you know, hey, man, that's what I'm saying. It's enough information out here now for people to be right and wrong.
That's what I be trying to tell them. It's like, it's enough information out here for people to be right and wrong, and you are wrong. You have to know that you're wrong. You're fucking up. Don't nobody want to hear about that part. You fucking up. This, you're going to make some good decisions, and you're going to make some bad ones. That's part of the game. But hey, that one right there, that was a bad one. You fucked up. All this goddamn Google out here, and you still don't know nothing.
Hey, man, these smartphones don't make smart people.
I'm just saying, at least get a second opinion.
Hey, buddy, what you think? Buddy hit me.
What the name is? Man, hold up. Oh, shit. Bro, that the nigga from,
Nigga. Shawty, you know?
Man, call Shawty back right now.
Hell yeah, niggas don't be knowing.
I think that's nobody should know unless they care. I feel like you should care enough. If you don't care enough to know, then shit ain't for you. Like, I'm like, man, learn some shit about what you're trying to do.
I know. That's why I be watching Walter Cronkite and shit. One day they gonna give me a late night talk show because I know how to talk to niggas. And they gonna have to come through me because I'm the only one over here prepared. Be like, welcome back to Daily Nightly Black News. I'll probably be have a greater thing out. So I can look more believable.
Yeah, get you some glasses.
Today we have KP Music. You make producers, don't you? Yeah, that type of shit.
Like, you'll be like the Negro Whisperer.
Right.
Yeah, like whenever they need a Negro, I'm like.
They gonna have, well, at some point, I know that they gonna need an older black man. And I'm from Mississippi too, so. Yeah, they might just be like, Reverend Carlos Miller.
Reverend Good Doctor.
Yeah, but you can't see, like, they like older black men who don't want to be popular. So you can't really look up at the camera. You gotta act like you're shuffling something. Mm. Today,
so you say,
in Black People News, looks like we're going to be black forever. Don't change, don't try, but don't tell no lies. Just some shit. I know it's my purpose is deeper.
I got you. Yeah, right. So you got to research.
Right.
That's another one you got to research.
Who did you research?
Clarence Avant, Gerald Busby, Russell Simmons, Andre Harrell, you know, and when I got to know L.A. Reid and Babyface, like, then I started digging into, like, their history, like, with people like Dick Griffey and people they came.
That's a cold name, bro.
Dick Griffey. He was a gangster.
He sound like it.
Yeah, but it's like, so you start figuring out these stories and start figuring out the similarities of, like, the work. You know, and the people and the character and the character you have to carry, right, if you want to maintain. So it's like I looked at the people whose music I like, and looked at the people who were behind that. Like I read credits, then I read biographies on those people if it come up. So it's just like get as much information, and that way you kind of find out that as different, as special as you are, you're not that different, or you're not that special. You know what I mean? So it's like. But all these special people did this much work.
Hell yeah.
Like, I read Miles Davis' biography, and when you think about
that motherfucker was a...
Yeah, but he practiced.
Like everything, but he had so much fucking time. He could literally do everything.
Yeah, everything. He was a superstar. Like, and that's what I'm saying, he was a superstar at that. Like, everybody, if you figure out your thing, you can be a superstar at it.
Welcome back to the 85 South Show. And this is my thing. You feel
it? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. I'm hanging in there like they're rocking me.
That better not hit me.
KP, bro. Don't let this be the last time you fuck with us at the trap, man. Cat got a question.
Yeah. What was it? Two years ago, 2018. I became Pharrell's music director.
See how you don't be telling us shit?
Okay, and
that's the shit I'm talking about, bro. It's too regular to you.
No, this is not regular, by the way. To me, like, this is like one of the moments. Like,
okay, bet.
Okay, so I've never done music supervising before, like in the music director. That's what it was. Music director for his band. Now, I'm not a musician, I'm a DJ, but I'm like, I know how I like to hear his music. I'm like, if you drop it like this, like, the crowd will do this, and, you know, so he was like, well, why don't you put my show together? So he ended up doing that, and then he asked me to come DJ for him on the road. Okay, so that's like, cool. Then fast forward, we end up doing this festival called Something in the Water, and it was an idea he had where he wanted to just bring, you know, like tourism into Virginia Beach, where he's from. And it was around the time that they usually do Black College Week, like Beach Week in Virginia. And they, you know, just we wanted to figure out a way to program and give them something to do when they were there. Because every other time they come, something would happen, like, you know, kids restless, silly shit happened. So we were like, let us program it, cool. The shit went over well. We did the show, and we did a Pharrell and Friends set in the show. And I'm the DJ. So Pharrell's friends are Jay-Z and You know, so at one point, so that night, we're doing a show and we're bringing people on, and Jay-Z, I'm sitting on stage, I'm DJing, and I looked up and I realized, damn, I'm DJing for Jay-Z and Pharrell. Like, and Jay-Z's like my favorite rapper, but I kept thinking back at that moment, I was thinking back to getting turntables and like how this shit, these turntables got me to, you know, rocking for 40,000 people, but being the DJ for like icons, cultural icons.
And LL Cool J put you, come LL put, on.
You know what? That's the name of my book. LL put me on. LL put me on.
The full circle of that.
Yeah.
Because like, if you go back and you look, shit, LL Cool J went on to become of the same status, you know what I mean? God MC
He's one of the greatest, like, and most accomplished. Like, didn't fall off. Like, didn't go. Like, he actually is one of the first successful hip hop artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real life successes. Got a radio station. You know, Rock the Bells. And, like, yeah, it's like. Like, hip hop is dope.
It really is.
Yeah, I feel like that's my. Like, I'm.
So, when you realize you DJing for Jay-Z and Pharrell, did you fuck up a little bit? Like, oh shit, hold up, let me get back.
Absolutely not. Hell no.
That would have made that. You,
man, that would have been the worst.
Oh, wait a minute.
The worst. Hold on. Oh, you ready? Which one? Shit. Oh, shit. Damn, Jay.
No, nigga, because it's been
shit. No, nigga, you know, because I'm looking at you doing this shit. And I'm like.
Beyonce and I'm ready.
Nah, not at all.
Fuck that, nigga. Nah, at some point.
Let me tell you when I'm not fucking up. When the light on like that, no. Nah,
never.
Up. No, I practice. Like, I practice. I'm not going to, no. Nope. Like, I'm too hard on myself for that.
There you go. Stay focused. That shit would have been hard to contain.
Man, it would have been horrible, bro. Like, to go all this time with a good name and shit and be the nigga fucked up the Pharrell and Jay-Z show?
Hey, man.
No.
Because that could happen at any moment. You could be doing too good. And then in the middle of one of those breaks, he'll be like, yo, who's your man?
Yeah.
He's dope. I like him. And then he'd be like, okay, right, just went back up. Watch this shit. He goes crazy.
These nets be. Nah, man. I don't know.
See, it's shit like that, man. Where else you gonna hear that from?
Somebody got this similar story. Like, they, like.
No, the fuck they don't, bro. LL Cool J may have bought one Walkman. It ain't no niggas. It ain't no bunch of niggas out here with a story about the time they was DJing for Pharrell and Jay-Z. Niggas don't be knowing. Niggas don't know what to do when Pink in the studio and her shoes off. They don't know what she want to hear.
Who wear shoes on? How you know?
Pharrell, one of the coldest niggas to ever make some music. And he was like, yo, put my show together. Like, nigga, I don't know. What you feel like doing today, bro? I mean, you got on snow boots and a fur coat. What you want me to do? Pharrell? Just do happy a bunch of times and let's get the fuck out of here, man. If these niggas like everything you like, they trust you. It ain't no work to this shit. You went to a Pharrell concert and that nigga just did 16 songs you ain't never heard. You be like, nigga, man. That new shit that Pharrell got?
Shit.
Be like, oh, that was from the old album. What? When that shit come out? It's my shit from 96. What? He has music like that.
Yeah.
He got a song with everybody that's good at music.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at music.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ain't super good at that shit. Like, that's it. Yeah, that's the story.
When you got a nigga who got this many hits, how you gonna super arrange this shit and make a show? Literally got 50 songs that'll turn the fucking arena upside down.
But he wasn't really playing them. Like, because I think that's, like, you know, you get tired, you know, I don't know, you just, like, you get numb to your shit. Like, I wouldn't if I, you know, I don't know. But I guess. Yeah, so, He don't know. He's like, man, what shit? What songs you think they like?
But his songs be too big, bro.
They huge.
You fucking play Happy around him. He be like, yo, turn that shit off. Mad every time I hear that fucking song. Bro, no disrespect. Play some more shit, but don't play that.
Yeah, nah. Nah, you better be able to. Nah, you gotta appreciate Happy.
Shit, I'm telling you. He probably get a royalty check just by us mentioning it.
I mean, sing it if you.
I'm not going to. Because then my shit fuck around and be too dope, and they won't let it come out like the CeeLo shit. New Face, did you know it's a CeeLo Green version of Happy? You heard it?
New Face might have this in his bag.
Is it out? Can you find it on the internet?
He got it in his computer.
Shut the fuck up, New Face.
Hey, by the way,
New Face gonna set up one of them old tape decks. Yeah. Hold on, you wanna hear it? Hold on. Line this tape up.
Got the dad play, like, I got a dad of it.
What you bring, New Face?
Oh, shit, come on, bro. What you got over there? This gentleman has been a part of. Oh, shit.
First of all, you know, I just laid here. Just talk about it, man, you know.
Oh, shit.
Carlos talked about it briefly. I don't know what's, man, you know.
See?
Things.
So, this is a group I was in, Parental Advisor.
Man, everybody know about PA.
Listen, I don't know.
Why that's right there? Where does this take effect?
Yeah, okay, so first of all, it's the 20-year anniversary of I'm Serious. So that's crazy.
For the niggas that be holding the wall. Yeah.
Shout out to Tip. What's up? Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy. This is the first time I worked with Pharrell, actually, on this. Like,
real?
Well, no. No, it was, you don't have to call. This was after that. I'm sorry. But, like, the first rap shit, like this I felt different about because he was signing my label. And I'm like, yo, you'll work on this thing. This new dude I got, and he heard it and was like, yo, he's crazy. And yeah, so Tip, yeah. And he's just been this nigga this whole time. That's the shit I love.
Right. That song went crazy. You got a for real beat. Wow. With Tip and Beanie Man?
Yep, mixed by Duro. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was something I didn't know. He's in the game, like I said, reading the credits.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This bad mind, you get shot anyway.
Okay. Oh, yep. Get over. Yeah. First, Shake 'Em Off. I feel like Shake 'Em Off was first single. It's the first single, Young Bloods. Yep. First group signed to Ghetto Vision. Yeah, let's see what's this.
A Ghetto Vision ain't real no more.
Picture that. ATL is. Oh, wait a minute.
Listen to KT, Cat and KP.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That was the Bad Boy remix of ATL. It's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, hey, what?
It's all your work, man. Come on.
It's, yeah, shit. That was a Yellow. They were just talking about Yellow Wolf.
New Face, you know Yellow Wolf used to pull up at the Camel Toe contest at Dance of the League. By itself. By itself, bro.
With Betty from Claremont Live.
I'm telling you, bro. For real. I used to host the Camel Toe contest.
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, Yellow Wolf used to pull up.
That's about right.
Yeah, with the crazy ass haircut with the little rat tail shit in the back. Mohawk on what's the side this? Shit.
Oh, yeah.
All you right. Ain't even talk about the Kendrick shit.
Man, listen. That's the thing that I feel like is, like, I'm probably, like, just grateful to be a part of. Because it's like, at the moment it hit and what it stood for, what it means now for.
It's
like,
an anthem now.
Like, it's a black song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like, you know, it's like, that's like a good.
Tell them what song you're talking about, because they don't know.
I'm sorry, All Right.
There you go.
By Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, it's like being a part of that is like that actually, I think, is one of the moments where you know how some shit happened and it's like, oh, this changes shit.
Yeah, change trajectory of the movements and marches and protests and it changed the face of the anthem during that moment. You know, like when Jesus, my president's black.
Yeah.
It changed, like you said, changed the culture and it went this way.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's just one of the things, like, again, it's like, I guess the other part is just, like, stay true to you and your people, like, because, like, for real, this relationship starts, I'm serious to this, you know what I mean? So, it's, you know, I think you
at least 20.
That's 20. Yeah, so it's like, you know, like, I feel like, you know, we all have been through ups and downs, and we done been hot, not hot. You know, and realize that it's no real, like, the hot shit is like somebody made up to make you feel like insecure about if you dope. And once you realize, it's like, man, just be creative. Like, just do the shit that you love doing. Like, don't. You won't even give a fuck about the time. The time goes by. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's funny. No, it's, hey man.
I was buying anything that had that logo on it, bro. So I've always told you personally, but man, it's just, you know,
just the
appreciate it. Yeah, man, you're a real one, bro.
And your
contributions to the game shall not be overlooked. I don't know how many other platforms you've been on, but it's an honor and a privilege to have you over here in the trap on 85 South Show.
Hey, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. I 1,000% do. I'm like, this is one of the ones that I'm like I told my kids, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna be on 85 South. Like it's like this some cool shit.
I did the same thing before I got here.
Yeah, it's stunning on me. Like yeah, when I used to come up, I used to do that shit. But no. But nah, man, this is dope to me. Like, so I appreciate y'all having me up here and, you know, kicking it with y'all in the trap.
Oh, man, like, wait till this shit come out, and then your people gonna hit you and be like, nigga, I ain't know you on that bitch. Why you ain't tell them about that time you forgot to get Monica a sandwich and she wouldn't?
I ain't got no story about getting Monica a sandwich.
No, just fucking with you.
I mean, no disrespect. I would. I mean, if
my we gotta get her up here, man. I've been trying to get her up. She said she was coming.
I'm surprised she ain't been up here. She
said she was coming.
She very home in the trap. She at home.
I know. She love ghetto shit.
That's my nigga.
I was hosting a shit show one night. She pulled up. She had her own microphone. I don't know how the motherfucker was hooked up to the club shit already. She had her own gold microphone. She pulled that motherfucker out. She walked in the club with a fur coat on. Every trap nigga in there was damn near crying. I'm talking about they was about to cry. She sung three songs, a flop, two or three songs, didn't she?
Three
songs. I'm talking about sound like the CD.
Yeah, those
niggas in there. Nah, I mean she, you know, she that one for us, man.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, she's a real one. Like she's always come through. Like she came through. Like for real, Neptune just did some records on her new project coming out. Like they just dropped one with her and Lil Baby.
This some huge. Okay.
What I was about to say is, like, and she has always come through. Like, when I DJ, like, I do these and friend sets. And, like, at one music festival, the idea that Monica came out on it. And it's just, like, the way that people love Monica is, like, it's like some Tupac level shit.
I'm telling you, man. She wanted to, I don't even know how to explain it, but that is
it's
real. That,
like, that's all I got. It's like,
I'm talking about when she walked in the room, everybody loved
they
her.
They start smiling and shit, like, man.
The whole shit changed. Some
like, they started calling them Mo and shit. I'm like, oh, man. Like people love Monica.
For real, for real. Yeah. And you can see her. She be everywhere,
she love
man.
Them back. Like, that's what it is. It's like the fact that she genuinely gives love, that's what comes back from that.
That's why she got to come up here. She got to. Well, look, man, don't let this be the last time come, bro. That's the first time.
I appreciate
Hold up.
It.
Wait a minute. Pause. Don't let this be the last time you come to the trap. Shit. You can't say shit no more.
When you've been in the studio with all these geniuses, you've got like one of the craziest projects where we approach it and put out something. I mean,
yeah, who got the craziest process? I don't know who has the craziest process that I work with, because everybody has like, everybody's like has their own special shit. Like Tip doesn't write, you know, but people do that. But it's like to think about when he's doing them other voices, and like this was, you know, when he first started doing it, this wasn't like the everyday conversation that you don't write shit down. But I don't know, man. I think everybody is. Oh, what? Huh? Oh, that's funny. Like, so one time for Courtney Seals in the house.
What up? Why you over there? You say nothing.
Yeah. Bella, you might as well come on over here now. You might as well come over here now, bro.
He's just chilling.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, Bear managed Yellow Wolf. Well, we managed him together. And when we were toward the, what was this, Radioactive? Oh, there it is. Somewhere. So, when we were working on Radioactive, we ended up working with Eminem.
So, I got to call you or him to get Yellow Wolf up here.
Yeah.
Hit him?
Yeah.
You don't tell me to hit him because you know I don't got his number. I got your
number. Right there.
All right, man.
You gonna need to get him up here.
Partner from the strip club before they told Dancers Elite down to come up here and fuck with me. He gonna know who you talking about because he used to be in there. He know. He gonna know. At the Camel Toe contest and shit. Yeah. When he was on his Atlanta shit and he used to pull up. Remember it was me, him, and Jackie Chan and shit. And we were smoking one night and then Yellow Wolf had a lot of weed and he kept rolling up. And I was like, bro, why we smoking these big ass joints and shit? And it was crazy. Whatever.
It was a lot.
It was way better. Go, he know though. Just tell him.
So, watching this dude, Eminem, like we were laughing about it. Not laughing, but just talking about the fact that he just sits on a treadmill and runs and writes raps listening to a Walkman. It might be the LL Cool J Walkman. Oh, nigga,
wait a minute, bro. How the fuck do you run on the treadmill and write raps at the same time?
But like running though, like not
full
like,
speed,
nigga. Running, like you can run.
Writing. Like at the same time.
No, you just see it like he's just saying it. He's just like listening to the beats, and that's what he's, I guess, that was like.
That's some white dude ass shit. Because that just reminded me of a white dude. You remember in high school, he's the one crazy ass white boy used to run down the hall real fast. Yeah. Damn, Eminem. Maybe he be trying to like make sure he gonna have enough to say it. To say the shit.
Hey. There you go.
Damn. That's why he don't fuck up none of that shit.
Cardio. That might
y'all,
be the other.
Y'all can really just tell him he's better than most of the people. He don't really have to do all that. He's already.
That's how you be better though, right?
You take him like 2 hours to do one line.
Like he's a perfectionist. He's a perfectionist dude. Like and this shit you won't hear, I won't hear it, but he hear it. Oh. So yeah, I mean hey, bro. So
that's some genius type shit, bro.
You got a little genius.
Y'all niggas stop recording your verses so fast.
And do some cardio.
And do some cardio.
Yeah, learn your lyrics. Learn the whole
song. A lot of rappers don't know their lyrics.
I hear it.
Don't be that. You know,
I hear it's a thing.
You been to the concert. You know the part where they be like,
hey. Yeah, they don't. Nah. I mean, they doing so many goddamn songs, though, bro. They do, like, how do you remember all them songs?
You wrote them?
Or did you?
They yours?
You should. You should know them.
You should at least have a general idea. At least a verse where you could be like, all right, cut that shit off. Whew. Do the part you like. You can't do your part.
Yeah, no, it's different. Like, I mean, but they don't have to. Like, listen. They don't have to. Like, the amount of shit you don't have to learn to come out with a record. Like, I think that might be the only, like, thing I wish that there was just more interest in learning the craft. Like, just a little bit more, like, because the longevity is just in it. Like you said, like, you can get hot by just doing some violent shit. But usually that shit's short. It happens just as quick as it blew. The shit gone. Unless you actually put some time in and learn something. Like, learn a skill in it. Like, have some fundamentals.
Right.
But, you know, hey, that was my old man river shit for the day.
Hey, well, I dropped plenty of old man shit in here. This is the 85 South Show. Yes, and we out this bitch. KP. New bass.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man. Appreciate it.
Nothing
man.
But the dope. You ready? Hold up. Get a shot. Get a photo. Yeah, ho! Get a shot.
Give me a 85 South Show.
Oh, we're gonna do some shit over here. Breaking news. We got breaking news here. Hi, I'm Carlos Miller live here on the scene at the Trap, and we have some breaking news. We just have a tour date that's been added to the Ghetto Legends Tour. Yes. Hold on. I'm getting more information. That's right. Saturday, December 18th at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. 85 South Show. Yeah, that's right. The Return of the Ghetto Legends. Saturday, December 18th at the Fox Theater. Go to 85SouthShow.com for all your ticket updates. Back to you, Kat.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.